You're listening to Morning Joe with the CEO.
Good morning, Rhoda. It is currently 7:08 a.m. It's your host, Petty Officer Ryan Brown, better known as Poindexter, and we're kicking it off with the CO coming in off from his holiday to give us a few words of wisdom and maybe a few travel tips.
I don't know if I have any words of wisdom, but I'm happy to be here with you this morning.
So I know you just came from holiday, right? Or you're still on holiday?
Well, I think I'm technically still on leave, and we just got back from traveling. We went to Germany over the weekend. One of my kids was in a swim meet in Berlin, so we took the chance to fly to Frankfurt, see a Christmas market in Frankfurt, take a whole bunch of planes, trains, and automobiles, ended up in Berlin, saw some Christmas markets in Berlin, had the chance to view some of the history around there, and just got back so the kids could do the last week of school before we settle in for the holidays with them.
And as somebody who hasn't done any of these Christmas markets, I've been to Germany already, but I haven't done the Christmas markets. Are like, how would you describe them? Are they worth it?
I loved it. I thought they were great. there are a couple of different kinds of Christmas markets. There are ones that are open to everybody. There are ones that you have to pay to get into. It's still open to everybody. You just have to pay to get in. I preferred the one in Berlin that was, you had to pay to get into, sort of had these walls all the way around. It was a little less crowded when you first got into it. They had restaurants set up in it. So instead of having to eat Wiener Schnitzel or I don't know what else they make in Germany. I don't remember all the food that there was. My kids really enjoyed it. But we had the chance to sit down at a restaurant, warm up a little bit, have some food off the menu, and then get back out and into the thick of it. It was a lot of fun. Watching people walk around with their cups of Glühwein or hot chocolate or there's some form of beer that they had there. I heard there was Glühwein beer, and I don't really know what that is, but there were a lot of people enjoying it. And the one that we went to, there were folks on stilts as part of characters. There was a Nutcracker. There was a princess. It was a lot of fun. And it just happened to snow a little bit on that trip, so that's probably why that was my favorite one, because my kids were just thralled to be in snow for a little bit.
They actually got the white Christmas.
Yeah, they did. It was really cool. And the history that you're surrounded by in Berlin it's remarkable. So we went to see Checkpoint Charlie. We had the chance to read up on the wall and the history of the wall. And then we walked for a couple of minutes and ended up in this beautiful Christmas market. So it was fantastic. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just incredible that you could just walk around like in one part of town and then just you're an entirely different part. It's completely historical. It's the classic, either it's the classic German, you get the nice little cottages, the small shops. Yeah. It's just really awesome.
We spent most of our time in the heart of the city, so we saw newer, more modern Berlin, but you could see a little bit of a difference between the east and the west. Some of the older buildings there, the east still had a little bit of the Soviet blocky buildings, and the West was a little bit more modern. All in all, though, it was a great trip. If you have the chance to go visit Christmas markets, it's very different there than it was in the ones we saw in Paris last year or the smaller markets that they have here. They each have their own little flavor to it, and I prefer the one in Germany. I thought it was great.
And while we're speaking about holidays, I know last week we had a bit of a winter wonderland ourselves.
Yeah, that was great. I hope that everybody listening had the chance to come join us for the USO tour. Santa flew in. We had the chance to light the tree. That was quite the weekend. So the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff actually led the USO tour as they came here. We had some really cool performers up there on the stage, and it seemed like the crowd really enjoyed the chance to see that performance. And the vice chairman, I'm really lucky. We had the chance to take him around the installation, introduce him to some folks on the ships, to our expeditionary forces out on the flight line, talking to HSM 79 and some of the Air Force. It was just a great chance to really show off what this installation is and the people that are here to the second highest ranking person in the military. So all in all, it was a lot of work. So our protocol office, coordinating with all the different commands and supporting the vice chairman and all the performers, seeing Vince Wilfork get down and try and manipulate a Ma Deuce with the expeditionary forces. He didn't get down into the bunker the way I was hoping to see. Like, for, you know, Vince Wilfork, for anybody who knows football, he's 6'3", I think, but he's just a massive man. I wanted to see him try and get down into a bunker and and what that would look like.
See how it fits.
No, yeah, but instead I watched him work a backhoe because they gave him a chance to try and work a backhoe and try and dig a trench in there. Anyway, all these really cool experiences that group had, I thought it was a great chance to show off Rhoda and the folks who work here and the families. It was a really cool weekend.
And it was a good show, too. I think this was his first stop, Vice's first stop in...
It was, yeah. I think we were hoping to ruin it for the rest of the tour. Just Rhoda was so good that every other one was just a little bit not so good.
I mean, we had Santa Claus come in through a helicopter.
I know, yeah. Nobody else.
The fire truck came in. Yep. Yeah,
I think we pulled that
off.
We
put on a show.
We did.
And then speaking of shows, we have a new voice coming in. I know she's a bit shy, but we all know, we all love her. It's our own PAO.
Hi, good morning. I'm Lieutenant de Dios.
So, a little nervous on the radio, but I think you'll find your voice. It's not that bad. I mean, CO's just been doing it for so long.
I'm here like every single month when, you know, all the shows happen, and I'm just the person in the background, so this is the first time I'm actually on the mic.
So I think we do need to talk about why we've got Chadena on the show with us today. We were supposed to have Santa. But because of my schedule, because I was traveling through Germany looking at Christmas markets, we had to get the show a little bit later this year than we normally do. So Santa couldn't join us today because he is so busy right now. We're in like the last week. We're inside of a week to his big day.
Yep.
So Santa sent us a note saying that he apologizes he couldn't join us here. But he's just so busy right now, making sure everything is ready, going through all the pre-flight checks, making sure he's got all the gifts right, double-checking his list. So he was just a little bit too busy to join us this week.
Yeah. No, I think he's on a mission this week, so it's really down to the wire for him to do all he has to do for the next couple of days. So
fortunately,
you have to stick with me this morning. But
hey, you know, it's not that bad. You know, Santa's double-checking all the new electronics that are coming out and the industrial work that the elves are going through. You got to make sure they're up to date on their training.
Right, but right.
Since it's your first time, we want to get to know you just a little bit. Can you, like, give us a little tidbit, a little bio of your life?
Yeah, so, gosh, where to start? It's funny because I'm here all the time and I see people do this and I hear people do this all the time, but this is my story. So I'm originally from Los Angeles, born and raised there, and my parents were both Navy corpsmen. They're actually Fleet Marine corpsmen. So I grew up good part of my childhood in Camp Pendleton and lots of other USMC bases. So I grew up as a military brat, I guess, as one would say. And after I went to go to school and worked a civilian job actually in the public affairs realm, and even got my undergraduate and graduate degree in both public affairs and public relations, I then decided to join the Navy, really because, well, number one, my parents had always such great things to say about their time in the Navy. And ultimately, it was something I was looking forward to because just I think that a life where you get to really kind of dedicate yourself to a bigger mission than just going to work every single day and going back home just kind of seemed a little boring. And so I was a civilian working in public affairs and public relations before I joined the Navy. And now I'm doing the best job in the entire world, being the PAO here in Naval Station Rhoda.
And I love your story because it's another way that we have sailors in the Navy. There are people like me who've known since they were, you know, waist high to their parents that they wanted to be in the Navy. And there are people like you who, after they had a real job, after they were out in the real world, just wanted to answer something a higher calling. I don't know how if you would put it that way, but. I think it's great. It makes the Navy such an amazing place, having all that diverse background, the different perspectives. I have no idea what it's like to be a grown-up in the real world. But there are people like you who know what the real world is like and understand just how different it can be in the military. And
And I have certainly grown to appreciate so many things that the Navy has to offer that I feel like I hear people complain about a lot. Or, I mean, I haven't figured it all out, and I certainly haven't lived my adult life fully, like, as a civilian now joining the Navy. But quite honestly, yeah, I love everything for what it is. I love being in the Navy. I love serving overseas. It's really a dream come true. So
cool. I think that's what most people tend to hope to get in the military, just to go overseas.
Yeah, they say join and see the world. And I think all of us here in Rota can really attest to that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get out of Arizona. It was too hot. But, you know, you've been talking a little bit more about, like, yourself, but what do you do? What's the public affair mission? Why do we have you?
What would you say you do here, Bob?
Well, I go around and, like everyone thinks I do, I take a lot of photos, but it's actually not me. It's the team behind me. So even like you, MC2, that you guys work, you know, the radio show here at AFN, and just all our MCs that are stationed here at Naval Station Rota. I mean, our job is to support our Navy's communication needs, whether that's information dissemination through radio, digital, social media, or even print like the coastline. It's all about communication and engagement with us as service members, and making sure that we're informing our publics, which, like I said, is us, or even those publics that are outside our base, like our Spanish communities in Rota and all the other, you know, surrounding communities in Puerto and Chipiona. So really, it's a combination of lots of things. So it's information dissemination, you know, in times of crisis or maybe things that may have happened. I'm there to kind of answer the call to fill in the gaps if media have any inquiries for us. And I'm here to, through our community relations program, also garner support from our local Spanish communities. And that's through community relations, COMREL, outreach, things like that. So we help tell the Navy story to not only the American public, but publics all around the world as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that public affairs does that I view as very important. I'll be frank, as a junior officer, I didn't fully understand the power of public affairs. But in this role, I have the opportunity to learn so much more about the way the Navy on a different scale works. The way I see it, you tell the story to a couple folks, like you said, most of us want to know that we're doing something that is worthwhile. And while we're in the moment, we don't always realize in the moment the power of what we're doing. Public affairs captures those moments and then hands them back to us. So when we're working our butts off, doing whatever it might be, we don't always appreciate the impact of that individual evolution or that mission that we're accomplishing. And then public affairs can show it back to us. Like, hey, look at the impact that you had when you were helping move all these jets, when that ship was underway, when you were out there conducting this mission. And it gives us a chance to reflect as the warfighters on what we're doing. It helps tell the story to people we want to know about the strengths that we have. It relays to folks who could be potential adversaries. It tells the story we want them to hear about the strength of our warfighters, the strength of the support that we have here for our warfighters, so that they understand probably not the best idea to get tangled up with us, because not only do we have people out here who can fight better than you do, but we've got the support structure back here to make sure their families are taken care of so they can continue to fight no matter what you throw at them. And then the little twist that we have here that I think that not a lot of other people do is we're guests here in Rota, as we talk about a lot. This is the chance to share with the community that supports us just what we do here, so that it's a peek behind the curtain for our Spanish hosts. They can see into the lives of the Americans that are here that in a way that they normally wouldn't be able to see if we just walked off base and got groceries and got a meal and then came back on to the installation. This lets them see all the stuff that we do. It's an amazing tool. It's an incredibly powerful tool that we have here. And it's just this really small shop. It's really only 4, sometimes 5 people who are putting all of this information together and letting it out in so many different ways. And then coordinate with AFN here so that we have the chance to get our voice out, literally. And the support they provide it's pretty incredible. And then you think about the young lieutenants out there who are the PAOs for squadrons and ships and all the other operational units. I'll admit I was a PAO and I was not good at it because I didn't fully understand how powerful it was. But we have a great PAO shop here who works with all those other commands and pulls them in and helps them understand the strategic importance of their mission. Like I said, incredibly powerful tool. And we're really lucky to have the shop that we have here.
And I think that's going to be a nice little closer for our first part, because I know you guys are missing a little bit of the music, and I think we need to give them a little break. Their vocals are probably stinging. A little sip of coffee will always help with the Morning Joe. So I'm going to start us off with a little bit more lively of a song. We got Livin' La Vida Loca coming out with some Ricky Martin. CO show. And we're continuing over, kind of doing a bit of a review of what's been going on during the 2024 year. I know it's not as exciting as COVID, but
I am okay not having an exciting COVID-related year. But this is my last holidays. This is my last chance to enjoy winter and the way that they celebrate Christmas or Three Kings, or the way that we have introduced Thanksgiving here, the way this holiday period plays out. It is our last chance as a family to do that. I've been here for 2.5 years now, and come June, I'll be packing up my bags and dragging my family with me. So it's a little more impactful to think through what we did this year, understanding I won't have another full year. I won't have the chance next December to sit down with y'all and talk about the amazing stuff that this installation does. So yeah, I'm happy to talk about what we did last year. I'm excited about what the year has coming for us in 2025. But it's also it's difficult. Mm-hmm. So quick story before we get to the important stuff. Sorry, I know you have this put together for us. At the concerts, at some of the big things that they do at the school, there's a farewell song that they play, and they do it probably 3 times a year because of how often families uproot and leave. There's a lot of good about the military. There's some amazing stuff. I wouldn't trade what I've done for the world, but there are a lot of hard parts to it, and picking your family up and moving them is hard. And every time that song plays, it's a little more powerful to me because I realize after this holiday, there's a holiday concert. I saw my son yesterday. I get to see my daughter today with their little holiday concerts at the school, and they always end it. The very last thing they do is the farewell song. And this will be the last time I hear the song without it actually being for my kids. And it's an interesting thought. I'm going to take my family and going to move us. And it's hard. And there's a lot of families out there who are going through that right now. Is over the holidays is a big move, and then of course over the summertime, it's a big PCS season. But we've had a lot of people that joined us this year who had to go through that, who uprooted their families from where they were in the States or in Japan or Guam or somewhere else throughout Europe, and over the course of a year have come here. And I don't know that every place does something as cool as they do at DGF Elementary with that farewell song. So for everybody who's with us now, who had to uproot and move and joined us over the course of the year, I know that was hard, but we love having you here. Rota is an amazing place with an amazing mission, but more importantly, with some of the most amazing people that you will ever have the chance to live with and work with. So for everybody who joined us over the course of the year, welcome. We're really glad to have you here. We're glad that you're here to celebrate the holidays with us, and we look forward to kicking off the new year with you.
Yeah.
So all that being said, let's get back to the cool stuff that we did.
I mean, we're going to basically go over a little snippet of what you can expect during the new year of 2025. But we are definitely going to have a few changes. There's going to be a few different people, a few different names. But of course, we're going to start us off with January PAO. What happened in January? I wasn't here during that time.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Part of my role is documentation. And really capturing a lot of our major historical events and operations here at Naval Station Rota. And it's great. My team thinks I'm crazy, but I'm a crazy planner. So I have like these calendars in our office, and I just write every single event down. So if anyone ever is curious about what has happened over the year, just come to the PA office and I can pull out my calendars and show you everything. So it was quite easy for me to pull out a list of all the things, amazing things that we've done throughout 2024, and starting in January, we had Of course, I'll start off with some Comrel project that we did. Our NMCB 133 battalion that was here did a Spanish public school painting Comrel, which means community relations project. So we went out to the community and painted a public elementary school for our local community. And then we also had another Comrel project, which of course was our some sailors that come visit us from other parts of the world, such as the USS Sullivan. The Sullivans volunteered at a local women's shelter. So shout out to my Comrel team and the rest of my PA team that works really hard every single day to make sure that we're doing everything to support our relations with the Spanish community. So that's what I have for January, sir. What do you have?
I mean, January is always the start of the year, right? It's where, well, I know that's pretty pedantic, isn't it? But it's where we take the holiday down. Everybody has a chance to take a breath. And probably about midway through January is when we fully hit our stride. You start to take a look at everything that we had coming up. And I'll admit, all of 2024 for me, the vast majority of it was colored through the lens of the arrival of DDG number 5. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah. I mean, it's more recently that she showed up. But for most of the year, it was working very closely with the embassy team, with Sixth Fleet, with NAVUR, with all of the supported commands around here to make sure that we were ready to welcome all the families and a new DDG. So when January hit, I remember talking to my team about, this is it. We've been talking for a couple of years now about this one, but this is when the rubber meets the road and we have to make sure that we're ready to go.
All right, so let's take a look at February then. I think we had a couple of visits from some important individuals, you know, people who make or break some of our lower enlisted careers.
So, well, oddly enough, I'm not sure how Sixth Fleet does for most of that. So Vice Admiral Ishii, who was Sixth Fleet at the time, came to visit. He came a couple of times, I believe, over the year for visiting some of his ships. So CTF 65 works directly for him. CTF 68, our expeditionary forces, work directly for Vice Admiral Ishii. So he had the chance to work with his CTF commanders in ensuring that they understand his purpose, his vision, and they had the chance to talk to him about what they have coming up in the way that they're going to move ahead.
Yeah, simple, easy, get to the mission, get it done.
Pretty much, yeah. Having him visit here was always a good chance to understand the impact that we had here locally on Rota on the larger strategic mission here in the theater. Because throughout 2024, we had some really major things hanging over us. What was happening over in the Eastern Med, that was a major event for us. And we spent most of the first half of the year making sure that we were ready to support Americans coming out of that region if it was required. We also still had the conflict up in Ukraine and Russia, and Sixth Fleet is very concerned with that. I mean, NAVUR and Sixth Fleet support the Geographic Combatant Commander's efforts on both of those fronts. And those the only place in the world where the fleet is facing two active combats is, or a active, I don't know, my words are
active
failing me.
Combat zones.
Active combat zones, yeah. I think that's probably what I was trying to say. Only place that you face two of those is here. So having Sixth Fleet come out here and talk to two of the CTFs and the way that they're impacting both of those missions and have the chance to tell us the way that we're supporting that was pretty important.
And around my time, when I first arrived here in March, yeah, the very beginning of March, we were doing the bilateral training exercise conference as well. So that kind of envelops a lot of what you were saying. We had a lot of big names come by. We had a lot of important people discuss the actual future here in Sixth Fleet. Yeah. And, of course, some other things.
Yeah, so BITEC, though, if Chad, Anna, you and your team joined this year, right? You were actually up there for it.
Yeah, it was great in Madrid. So there's teams from across Team Rota. So we had our fast year Marines out there. We had our Air Force friends and their people out there, especially on the planning side, all traveled to Madrid. I know a lot of people across our installation, Naval Station Rota, especially on the operational side, went out there. We had our HSM 79 Griffins team go out there. So it was a good show out from Naval Station Rota and our supported commands that went to attend BTEC, which stands for the Bilateral Training Exercise Conference in Madrid. And it's incredible to see our Spanish counterparts with our American counterparts sit together in a giant room and literally discuss the details of all the bilateral exercises that they do throughout the year. I mean, it's a perfect, like, you know, we say a lot of that, you know, we work alongside our Spanish, but it's like that perfect culmination of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And it's fun to be able to capture that. We were my team and I, we were running around making sure that we documented as much as we possibly could on that. And, you know, it's an incredible thing to see it actually be planned and then executed here at Naval Station Rota or many other Spanish bases across the region. So it was great. BTEC, and I know it's something that happens every year, but if anyone, you know, needs to join in on working with their Spanish counterparts, I think that's a great place to start.
Yep. And it lays out over the course of the year how we're going to interact with our Spanish counterparts. And from a larger perspective, why that's important is as two core members of NATO, it is every chance to demonstrate to our potential foes the power of having these two long-standing friends working together and demonstrating modern combined arms. It's a very powerful thing. And especially with what's happening right now, demonstrating that relationship, demonstrating the strength of NATO is critical here in Europe.
And then something a little bit more local is that we had a ship return from patrol.
Yeah.
Do you know which one it was? Just without looking off the script, what is it?
I think it's a ship that's coming in from patrol again this week.
Yeah.
Sometime soon.
Yeah, and Bulkley came back in March, and coincidentally, she comes home tomorrow, too. And that highlights, for everybody who's on the ships, I'm telling you what you already know, just the incredible operational tempo that CTF-65 and our four at the time, now five home-ported ships, supports. The amount of work that they do is absolutely incredible. And it seems like right now, every time they get underway, they get extended. And every one of our ships who goes out to support the theater mission remains out there supporting the theater mission. We live in an incredibly dynamic region right now, and everybody on those ships feels every one of those, which is why I think it's so important for us on the installation to provide all the support that we can to the families who are back here as they go through all of those separations and a lot of the uncertainty associated with the patrol cycle that we have here.
And then, of course, we can't forget about Explosion.
Explosion, yeah.
Nice and colorful. The children running amok. It's probably a bit scarier of a war zone being out there.
I don't know. It was great, though. MWR does a couple of kind of keystone events for us, and the Explosion is one of them. They open up a couple of softball fields. They break it down by age group, so every kid has an equal chance to go out there and get as many eggs as they can and look for the special golden eggs. They get the special prize. But that one that's a lot of fun. Seeing all the kids out there and all the smiles on their faces, it's a lot of fun.
Kind of reminds us of like the reason why we do this, right? We do it for our family. We do it for the kids.
Yeah, a lot of times the grand ideas that we have are often boiled down to the people that are around us.
And then in April, a little bit of a shout out to our fire team out there. We had the fire truck donation to the local community.
Yeah, there's a museum out in Rota, and they've been asking for a while for us to be able to donate something. And there's a couple of folks on the team who finally figured out how we can, no kidding, donate an entire fire truck to the museum. We're actually loaning it to them. So we're loaning the fire truck to the museum here. And it is another very visible demonstration of the community, going back to public affairs. This is a place where anybody out in Rota can go take a look at the way that we work together in the Armada and the U.S. Navy and the impact that it has on the community here. I thought that was a huge deal. And then also around that same time, sorry, I just took a breath. We selected our Dama. So Damas del Rosario is a huge event here in Rota. And every year we have the honor of selecting one of our students to join, to be one of our Damas. And it was Miss Olivia Bussey who had the chance this year to represent us through all of the events that the Damas do in working with the community throughout Rota.
All right. And PAO, what was going on in May?
Well, my office, sorry, I'm a little biased because I focus on a lot of things we do here from the PA perspective, but we actually hosted the Taste of Feria event at La Plaza. So shout out to MWR for allowing us to host the event there. We had flamenco dancers from the city of Rota. We had the actual city of Rota representatives come to La Plaza, and they gave us a quick little snapshot of what it is to do Feria right at that time, because it was just before Feria got started for the year. So it was a fun kind of master class, you know, Feria 101 class, as one may think, with the city of Rota. So that was our Taste of Feria event that we had in May. And then also our U.S. Naval Hospital Rota also hosted their health fair for all community members. So that was super successful, and they do some amazing work. So great having a team there that it really knows how to reach out to our community members and make them accessible to everybody.
And I think it's important that we continue to think about the rest of our team as well. And with that, we had SecDef with their direct mission on the airfield. We had our Air Force units that are here kind of go on a little bit of a fun training exercise.
I'm looking at all the stuff that we have, because we're only in June and it's already 7:45. There's just so much stuff that happens on this airfield. It's difficult to capture it all. So yeah, we were on the flight line, huge coordination between multiple units here in supporting a SecDef directed mission. And over the summertime, we celebrated a lot of the normal holidays that we have. The big one for us, obviously, is the 4th of July, when we have the only chance that we have here in Spain to raise the flag in front of Building 1, where we take our picture. And then, probably more importantly, we have our huge 4th of July celebration, another one of the keystone events that MWR puts on, with fields just full of activities and rides and then the fireworks. It's one of really two times that we open up the base to the community. So we had a bunch of our Spanish friends joining us on the installation to listen to music, to eat some good American food, to watch the fireworks. It's one of my favorite events that we do here. And then as we move in towards the end of the summer, we start getting ready for school to come back in. We have National Night Out. That's where we introduce the community to everything our security forces do. And it grows just a little bit every year, which I love. So we have our security forces. We have Spanish security forces. We had Guardia Civil come show us what they can do here. And it's just another demonstration of the way that we work together with our Spanish hosts. We had the Seabees turnover not long after that, and this is a big one because this is the last rotational CB force that we're going to have for a little while. So when NMCB1 leaves in a couple of months, we're going to be without NMCBs here, at least that main component. We're going to have some of the vehicles here. We're going to have some folks here who take care of those vehicles. We're still going to have a lot of CTF-68 and Naval Construction Regiment 22 forces who are here over the rest of the year. And then the big one, at least operationally, for me, was having Oscar Austin arrive. So in October, Oscar Austin arrived, the fifth forward deployed Naval Forces Europe ship, the fifth ballistic missile defense ship, the fifth of the most capable ships that the Navy has to offer, is now here as part of the team in Rota. It's a demonstration of the importance of this theater, a demonstration of the capabilities of this installation, but probably most importantly, it's a demonstration of the trust in the mission that those four ships, now five, carry out all throughout the year. And along with that, we had Navier come, we had the Chargé d'Affaires come to welcome them here. We had a huge welcoming ceremony on the back of that ship, so that poor ship had to cross over the Atlantic, come here, and like 2 days later host this giant event on their flight deck to thank everybody for welcoming him. But coincidentally, Oscar Austin showed up, and then just a couple of months later, she's already out there supporting the mission. She's already a part of this team, fully out there. And then that same month, one of the most impactful things that we do, at least for the folks in housing, is trick-or-treating. It's another time that we open up the installation, let our Spanish friends come in and celebrate a quintessential American holiday with us. It's a lot of work, and it's sometimes a little bit painful to have to open up our homes this way to that mass of kids, but the way that the Spanish children are able to see what it is just a little bit, to be an American kid celebrating that holiday, I think it's worth it. And then we start to get towards the holidays. We get towards November. Things slow down just a little bit. But I'm sorry, I don't mean to bogart this from you.
No.
PAO.
No, sir. Keep going. You're the commander in charge here.
Less yes this week. She's like, oh, this is going to be an easy radio time.
Yeah, but November, it's celebrating Thanksgiving. And there's a couple of different ways that we celebrate it with the community. I had the chance to serve a little bit of food on Thanksgiving and watch the families coming through here and how excited they are. And again, we get Spanish. Some of the Spanish have the chance to come enjoy a quintessential, little bit too much food American holiday. but it really kind of kicks off the holiday period for us. And as we start to take a look back at everything that we did in 2024 and what we look forward to in 2025. And then December, we talked a little bit about Winter Wonderland and how much fun that was. But we have one more major poll coming up this year, and that's the supporting the Secretary of the Navy. So SecNav will be here tomorrow, where he will have the chance to watch Bulkley come back in off of her patrol. Bulkley, who's had to a couple of extensions again, will finally get home just in time to celebrate Christmas with their families. SecNav was the first CO of USS Bulkley, so he'll have the chance to watch ship come back in. He's a man who served for 22 years, retired as a commander in the Navy. He and his wife will have the chance to probably think back on some of their younger years, the way a lot of us older folks start to do is, as we've been playing the game for a while. And then, for me, more importantly, he's holding a town hall, and I'm sorry, an all-hands call with the entire Navy community tomorrow in Old Flicks Theater. So it starts at 10:45, but we're asking everybody to be there at 10:30. Sailors, Marines, Navy civilians, and their families. We would love to get spouses there to have the chance to talk to Secretary Del Toro and listen to the person who bottom lines all of the policies that directly affect the way that we live and work in the Navy. Someone who is himself an immigrant, born in Cuba. Someone who has himself attended the Naval Academy, who beat—I forgot to mention December, right? They beat Army 31-13, so take that. Black Knights, they were so confident. They were 11-1 coming in.
Yeah.
And just got their butts handed to them. But, you know, an Academy grad, a surface warfare officer, he was a commanding officer. He now serves as the Secretary of Navy. And if you want to talk to a family who's been through everything that we have and now has the chance to impact those policies that affect us as families, come talk to him. Be ready with some questions. Ask him. Ask him what he's thinking about. Ask him about policies that they have in place or ways that they're going to better take care of our families. Because the demands on our sailors, the demands on our leaders, the demands on our families is not going to diminish. It's going to continue to be this huge demand on us. It's part of the burden that we take on as we embrace the nation's cloth and take this job.
Right.
But we deserve the chance to ensure that our families are taken care of, to ensure that we have the chance to take care of ourselves. And this is a great opportunity. Talk to the Secretary of the Navy. Mm-hmm. Ask him how he's going to make sure that our families are taken care of while we continue to take up this burden. So lots of stuff that we have done and a couple more things that we will have the chance to do this year. It was an amazing year. 2024 was
really
an absolutely incredible year.
And it's all documented, too. You can find every single piece of this probably either on the main ROTA website or the main Facebook page, too.
Yeah.
Here over at AFN, we covered a lot of that as well, a lot of joint posting. So.
And it got coastlines. You can go pull up all those coastlines and take a look at everything that we've covered, all the great pictures that we have. Facebook captures all those great pictures.
Yeah,
lots of ways.
I still have my first picture where I made front cover. I was like, yes.
That's cool.
First
that's
one,
really cool.
Hang it up right here, and that's going to be a memento I'll tell the kids about.
Yeah.
But, of course, with the holidays coming up, we got to stick with the holiday music. And we have a special request by the CO himself. Michael Bublé is coming in to sing us a Christmas song.
Sorry, I was looking at that. We were never going to.
And that's going to be a nice little ride into our next segment for what's finishing up for the holidays PAO has a lot of new and cool stuff going on. Would you care to cover down for us what that is?
Yeah, I think Skipper and I, we come with lots of ideas of what to do over your holiday break. Whether you've been here in Rota for a while or maybe just arrived. So I know zambombas are a Gaditano, a tradition here, a Spanish tradition here in this region of Cadiz. And if you've never been to a Zambomba, have you been to a Zambomba, sir?
Yes, we ran across it out in Rota last year, just coincidentally.
They're these, I've only been to a couple, but they're these giant group of people that just like have kind of like, it seems like a party in the middle of the street.
Yeah, it's almost like a campfire sing-along.
Yeah,
they just,
there you go.
They set up in the middle of a square. They've got usually a fire going. There's music playing, people dancing. It's just this party just kind of emanates and grows out of that single spot.
Yeah, and I know in Jerez, it's very, they're
huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you find yourself here and any of the surrounding towns here in Cadiz, and if it's a weekend, it's usually happening on weekends like Fridays or Saturday nights. If you go in any of the main town streets, you will probably run across a zambomba happening. So it's a great way to
And I highly recommend getting out into any one of these towns here. The lights, the way that they have the lights over the streets. You can do Rutas de Belens here in Rota, so you can go see the nativity scenes, huge, elaborate nativity scenes, and there's literally a route that you can follow to go see all these while you're enjoying the lights, and you'll probably run across the Zambomba, just a really cool tradition here in Cádiz.
Yeah, and I mean, whether you're celebrating the holidays off the base and participating in any of these Spanish traditions, there's tons of other ways to spend your holidays here on base as well. I know that our community recreational office is offering two trips on December 28th and one on January 4th to see Ronda and Sevilla on historical tours. And also our chapel is offering, ways to connect with the local family here. One of our own military families that through our Adopt a Sailor program that open up their home so you can share a meal with them and some of their holiday traditions that they do in their house. So there's tons of ways to plug in here. So
there are a lot of great ways to do this. Don't forget about your 12 uvas. You got to get your 12 grapes ready for the New Year celebration. I still have yet to get all 12 down in time. But I also celebrate a little bit before midnight usually because of my kids, which is really nice. And then we have Three Kings coming up. So Three Kings on January 6th. Make sure you get your shoes out. And there's a couple of different traditions outside under the bed, whether or not you have hay for the horses they're riding. But it's a fun tradition. It's another way to tap into the tradition here. But if I can steal the last minute, just do my CO thing. For everybody out there who's listening, I would ask, have fun. Get out there and enjoy the holiday seasons. Please just have a plan. Have a plan to get yourself safely home after you enjoy however you choose to enjoy. And take care of yourselves and take care of your shipmates. We're all shipmates here. So take care of yourself. You all know better than anybody else what makes you tick, what finds your center for you. So take the time to tap into that, find your center, and enjoy how you best enjoy, whether it's being around people, being away from people, talking to your families, hanging out with your friends. Take care of yourselves and take care of your shipmates. There are some folks who may have trouble with that. And if you see somebody who needs a little bit of help, please don't hesitate to offer up some help. We have a lot of great services around the installation if people want to use those services. And a lot of times we just need a friend. So don't be afraid to be that friend for somebody who needs it. It's been an amazing year, Rota. I've absolutely loved every chance I've had to work and live alongside everybody here. So if there's anything you all need from me, please never hesitate. And I look forward to seeing you guys out there around the installation.
Yeah. Enjoy your holidays. Be responsible. Be safe. And of course, you're in Spain. Enjoy it for all it has. Go out for the festivities. But that's going to be doing it for our second hour of the morning show. Thank you, CO. Thank you, PAO, for coming in. And of course, we'll be having more interviews coming up in our next hour after news and sports coming right up.